Reporting on the games you love by people who love to game. The MMO Reporter Network.
You're listening to the Happy Hearthstone. This show is brought to you by Doghouse Systems. Choose your weapon with Doghouse Systems. By Audible. Get your free audiobook and your free trial today. By GoDaddy. Put your website to work while you play. If you'd like to directly support this show and the nice people who make it, you can find more information at gamediplomat.com/donate. Hello, and welcome to episode 42 of the Happy Hearthstone Podcast, the longest-running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Josh Augustine, and this week I am joined by Adam, a.k.a. Bruggy. Hello, Adam.
Hey, how's it going, Josh? How are you doing today?
I'm doing really well. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty great, actually.
Good. So, first off, I gotta start the show with an apology. I know it has been 2 months since we did our last episode of the show. I've been reminded several times on Twitter by friendly people. So I have to apologize. My mic broke, as you can tell from the last episode, right? We finally got the interview with the developers. Literally, this is not an exaggeration. 3 minutes before we recorded, my mic broke. It was just depressing. So you heard the audio.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I was really excited to have them on. It seemed like they had a good time as well. They were both super fun. I'm hoping we can have them on again in the future. It's just really cool to hear kind of the inside stories of making the game we all love to play. But yeah, so the mic broke. I have a 7-month-year-old baby. My employer, the company that employs me was bought by an investment firm. And it was hard to find a guest. So Adam was awesome and volunteered to come on the show. Took us a while to get, you know, set up and figure out a time that worked for both of us. But he was the only people over the course of a month that I could get to come on the show and talk about the deck. So listeners, if you have decks like Adam's awesome deck that he's going to be sharing today that you want to share, let me know. You know, come on the show. You can always contact me on Twitter, at jaugustine, or email. All that stuff will be at the end. But anyways, let's talk about Adam, because he is the guest of the show. He is the important person, the reason we're all here today. Adam, tell us about yourself.
Well, I'm Adam. I've been a card player for many years. I actually got inspired to play cards for the very first time back way when Pokemon first came out. And
nice.
My cousin was Insane Meta, who is quite literally the pioneer for the word meta that we use so commonly today.
Wait, what? Is this for real?
This is absolutely for real. My cousin is Dan Adams, the guy who came up as Insane Meta in Pokemon, the guy who wrote the article that started the word metagaming in our community.
Wow. Oh, I
platforms.
Didn't know I was having a pseudo-celebrity on the show. How fancy.
But no, in Pokemon, I topped many, many events, regionals, top 16 at nationals. I topped every Yu-Gi-Oh! Event I ever went to. I dabbled in Magic, but it just wasn't my cup of tea. It didn't feel right. And I think that had a lot to do with the community I was around.
Mm-hmm.
But I also played in the Naruto tournaments. And I am actually the proud owner of a Hinata Hyuga mat that I guess goes for $1,000. And if somebody actually is willing to pay for that, I'll sell it.
Wait, why is it so fancy? I don't know what that is.
There was only 100 printed, and they were supposed to be given to judges, but the judge actually got two of them and was willing to give one up in a tournament that I won.
Wow. Dude, that's awesome. So do you have that mat like in front of you right now?
I absolutely do, but it's right behind me, and
that is awesome. I feel like you should be like printing out Hearthstone cards and like playing it on that mat while you're playing in game.
Well, I liked a lot of the Magic aspect, and I liked a lot of the Yu-Gi-Oh aspect, and somebody's going to hate me for saying this, but it really feels like those two games had a lot together to do with Hearthstone, and they play very similarly in a lot of sense.
Okay.
And it made it easier for it to stick for me.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Magic, a lot of people are like, oh yeah, this is very similar. But even in the secrets and things that we have on the side, react like trap cards or the instant spells out of Magic, the mana curve, things seem to click with me that way.
Okay, so you felt right at home when you jumped into Hearthstone. Did you jump in beta, alpha, recently?
I didn't want to get burnt out because I knew it was the beta, so I waited until the very first day that the game was released, because I knew burnout was going to happen, and for a lot of players it did, and I have not yet had that problem.
Oh, nice. That's good. Now, go ahead. I got to ask the hard questions here, Adam.
Okay.
What's the highest rank that you've gotten?
For Hearthstone, I actually work a lot. I believe rank 8 is the highest I've gotten.
Okay.
On a heavy working schedule. But I typically average around 50% win percentages, and I track that all on Hearth stats. But sometimes I just get behind that really fun deck, and I can't let it go, and I'll try and piece it together, and I'll destroy my rank in a day. But it's totally worth it because I have some fun.
Oh, I cannot
agree
more.
And I can get right back up that rank.
I am definitely one of those players that plays a lot of bad fun decks, because even losing with those fun decks is more fun than winning with the cookie cutters a lot of times.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's talk about why we're happy, because, Adam, I'll be honest, I'm just happy you're here. I'm happy that I have a new mic. I'm using this mic that I bought over a year ago. I just couldn't get the mixer. I had problems with my initial mixer. It took me this long to replace it, get a new one. So I'm just happy to be recording Happy Hearthstone again after all this time. Why are you happy, Adam?
Oh, man, I have so many good reasons to be happy. I got a great job. I got a wonderful wife who's letting me back here to record.
Which I appreciate, too. Thank you, wife. Yeah.
She's actually entertaining guests right now. Her parents are in town. So nice. I'm very grateful for what a wonderful wife I have.
Nice. Way to go. Getting spouse points while recording the show. That's good. All right. Let's talk about a couple bits of news that happened while we were away before we jump into the deck. Nerfs. The Undertaker effect change. So this, he gets the effect. He's a 1/2 for one that whenever you play a creature that has a death rattle effect on it, it got +1/+1. Now it just gets +1 attack. No additional defense. What do you think?
I think this absolutely needed to happen. Weenie Rush's decks have been around. Weenie Rush, Zoo, whatever you want to call them, have been around since probably Magic Elves was probably the first deck where Weenie Rush really took off. There was Red Deck Wins, which isn't so much Weenie Rush, really. There's some in Yu-Gi-Oh! That people know and refer to. But a card this early in the game to be so powerful that sometimes it takes till turn 4 or 5 to catch up with it, it really needed to be stopped some way. And to a certain extent, I feel like this nerf was a little too strong, and on the same hand, I feel like it was just deserving. I'm really torn, but something did need to happen, and great job, Blizzard.
Yeah, I completely agree. I agree, it feels a little strong, but kind of like you said, I'm not mourning it too much. This card had its day in the spotlight. It dominated for a good long time. If it's a little underpowered now, that's okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Although I will say, one of my coworkers at work was absolutely devastated by this, because he's been playing Death Rattle decks for like the past month, and he was in mourning for several days after they made this change.
You know, that's an amazing point you're bringing up, though. Like, for me as a player who, at the end of Naxxramas, was only missing 30 cards or less, Undertaker getting nerfed wasn't that big a deal. But for the people who are coming in and are having a real hard time building these good decks, this wasn't a card for the players who are more experienced and have the card pool. This was more of a card for the people who didn't have a card pool.
Yeah. Yeah, that is very true. Because it took a lot of just common cards like Harvest Golem or whatever and got way more value out of them. Yeah, so I don't know. I feel like there's going to be other kind of cheap decks that you'll be able to play. I mean, Zoo is still very much a thing, even without Undertaker. So I think there are still options out there for people with smaller card pools. But it would be interesting to see kind of how far Blizzard goes to kind of make sure that there's always a deck maybe for new players that they can play.
I think that's going to stick around with Zoo just because of that hero power.
Yeah, that is very true. All right, and awards. Hearthstone got 2 of them this year at DICE. DICE is a big video game awards ceremony they do every year. It's one of the most well-respected ones. And Hearthstone got two awards. They won two. They were nominated for a ton of categories, but they got Best Mobile Game and Best Strategy Game of the Year. I think well-deserved on both accounts. I did not play any other mobile game that was a tenth as fun as Hearthstone is.
I think it's the best card game out right now. It's pulling the same numbers as of players as Pokemon and Magic, and quite literally more.
Yeah.
I feel like it wins. It should win one more category that doesn't exist.
Yeah, there you go. Well, there you go. We'll give it the Happy Hearthstone Best Card of the Game, Best Card Game of the Year award.
Absolutely.
We'll try and make a fancy logo for you, Blizzard. We'll get it sent out. All right, let's get to the deck battle, because that's why people are here. This is the most exciting stuff. We do these deck battle episodes once a month. This is where the guest host brings on their favorite deck onto the show. We break it down for you. They tell you what cards they put into it, how it works, why they like playing it. And then they put their decks to the test and do battle against me in a best of three series live on the show. The twist, though, is that I always use the current reigning champion deck of the show. That's the last deck that a guest host brought onto the show and won with. The defending champion right now is still Scott's Survival Paladin deck from a few months ago. If you want full details on how the Survival Paladin deck works, how you can build it, you can find all that good info on episode 35 when it's first introduced. Scott also made a new revised version using the new cards that came out in the expansion after he had built that deck. So you can find links to that in our show notes on GameDiplomat.com. We'll have the old version of the deck and the new version. There you go. This week, though, we have another challenger from the community. Adam and I have never met. We're not colluding in any way. Adam has stepped into the ring and brought his own personal favorite deck onto the show that he thinks can dethrone Scott's Survival Paladin. He also put together a full deck list along with substitute cards you can use if you don't have all of his fancy legendaries or other rare cards, so you can still build it and try it out too. That'll all be on GameDiplomat.com. All right, Adam. Before people start rushing out to build this deck, you got to convince them why they should do it. So what is this? What is like the theme of this deck?
So currently in our meta, the Big Game Hunter is run obsessively.
Yeah.
So one of the big things I was looking at was playing six or less attack creatures that didn't sacrifice the quality of the deck. So currently, everyone's running Big Game Hunter, Face Hunter, Plethora of Weapons. But the thing that made me go to Paladin was they had the big removal needed in combos, so that you didn't have to run BGH yourself. You could have more room to add things to focus on the deck, because BGH having so much dominance. Again, I just built that deck that had six or less attack.
Okay, so you built a Paladin deck. Would you describe it as like a control deck, or is it an aggro deck because you're using, you know, smaller attack minions?
There are some smaller attack minions, but none of them really have that stick. They exist for that early game, and that's it. It is a mid-range deck, as many Paladin decks are.
Okay. And when you're talking about that big removal, are you talking like Equality Consecration, that fancy combo?
Equality Consecrate, Equality Knife Juggler, Muster for Battle.
Muster for Battle. We're getting the new Paladin cards in here.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of ways that you can do it. I didn't need to add the removal to the deck last season. I needed to take a look at the cards that we gained, Quartermaster, Muster for Battle. They were huge, but in my experience with other card games, allowed me to see how overpowered spare parts are and actually work that into the Paladin too.
Really? Okay, so you're saying spare parts are overpowered?
Absolutely. The spare parts, I believe, are super powerful because they allow the player to use more mana per turn. In the history of Paladin, you usually would bend off that curve a little bit more than you'd want to, and you'd wind up spending 5 mana on a 6 mana turn, or 6 mana on a 7 mana turn, even with the Quality Consecrate. And this allowed you that 1 mana to really play into that curve.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so you're saying, like, if I had 5 mana, I would be playing a 4 mana card, and there was just nothing left to do with that 1 mana.
Absolutely.
Okay, so in that way, are you saying spare parts are kind of free to play, would you say?
2 cents, they're free. I mean, they're still one mana cost. Every single one of them is one mana cost.
Yeah.
But even though they're random, there's so much power in their little abilities. Even when you're playing against Shaman and you get the reversing switch and you just drop a for one mana, destroy a totem.
Yeah.
That speaks a lot.
Yeah, that is very true. Oh, man. Those can be, I'm totally blanking on the name. The 03 totem that gives attack to the ones next to it.
Flame Tongue.
Flame Tongue. Yeah, killing a Flame Tongue totem for one mana is incredible.
Absolutely.
Okay, interesting. All right, so we're going to dive in deeper into spare parts later, because this is interesting. I actually haven't heard anyone make this argument yet, so I'm super excited about this. But so it has spare parts, but how does it actually win the game? Are you just trying to, you know, drag it out or do fancy tricks with spare parts and surprise them, or how do you win?
Well, no, like I said, the spare parts can help keep a minion out of mage hero power range with +1 to health, even on your little paladin recruits, Silverhand recruits. Freezing a minion, holding back an attack with the freeze for one. Mm-hmm. Or even, I actually run Toshley in my deck, and you can switch him to from a 5-7 to a 7 attack, 5 health, and really get a little extra boost to attack.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're moving into the win conditions, let's take a look at Spare Part Time Rewinder.
Okay.
And the reason why I think spare parts are so powerful. So anyone who's running Paladin right now knows that Muster for Battle and Quartermaster is a thing. You have to pay attention.
We have all lost to that combo.
But now with Time Rewinder, in the next turn after, if they don't remove the Quartermaster, you can now turn those creatures that are still left on the board to a 5-5.
And that's terrifying.
Absolutely. It's beautiful when it happens, and you'd be surprised at how often it happens.
Yeah. I mean, so is it just happening so often? Because, like you said, spare parts are random, right? Playing devil's advocate here. Is it happening so often just because your deck creates so many spare parts that it's almost inevitable that you have at least one Time Rewinder?
Not every game are you going to get Time Rewinder. It's really nice when it happens, but the other spare parts are still so good in many occasions.
Okay.
I've rarely run into a play where I've had a spare part and I've said, this is going to do nothing for me this game.
Now, you mentioned one particular combo in here with Time Rewinder and Lotheb. How does that work?
Time Rewinder and Lotheb is absolutely amazing when you have the Time Rewinder pre-turn 5. Mm-hmm. So if you run a Clockwork Gnome in the early game, he dies and you see Time Rewinder. Typically, I'm not a big fan of just playing Lotheb blindly on turn 5. But if you can play Lotheb on turn 5, turn 6, attack with Lotheb, Time Rewinder and pick up Lotheb and replay him and shut down spells and crucially cripple them for 2 turns in spells, it's absolutely amazing. It's one of the dreams that in Magical Christmas Land we all wish to see.
Yeah. Yeah, man, 2 turns in a row with no spells, especially against some decks, that is just brutal.
I had it happen twice for me today, actually, playtesting before this.
Oh, man. Oh, that's not a good sign. I hope you used up all your luck then. All right. So so it sounds like the big win conditions, correct me if I'm wrong, is it mostly this kind of Lotheb, kind of cripple them, gain some momentum late, or, you know, the Quartermaster drop? Is that kind of key?
Those are both really keyed to gaining tempo or increasing your tempo, I should say. Again, I have other good cards in here that are just good cards to really help stabilize the deck, such as Triton Fording. I'm going to say Triton because I'm pretty sure I got the first name right.
It's Tyrion Fordring.
Tyrion. I'm still terrible at it.
It's all right. If I hadn't played enough Warcraft and WoW, I would have no clue.
It's just another example of a good all-around card that can help get you that reach for win.
Yeah. Yeah, kill him. I dare you. Then I'll have a weapon and then punch you in the face. All right, so let's talk about some of the key cards then, because you already mentioned a couple of them. It sounds like Quartermaster is big. What else?
Yeah, Quartermaster is absolutely big. Lay on Hands is also another great card in this deck. I like to call this a plus two, but essentially what you're going to do is just play Lay on Hands, and you get the one for one off of the Lay on Hands. You get the heal, and you get an additional two cards, which is just absolutely great.
Yeah, I'm surprised this isn't too slow of a card for your mid-game deck. Is this just here, like, in case you get forced late?
Well, sometimes you get into that later game, and going one for one can really create a situation where a lot of people are both top decking.
So can you can you clarify what you mean by going one for one?
Trading a minion for a minion until both of you are actually top decking. Maybe you both made efficient trades somewhere and it wound up that you're both top decking. This is just another great card to really pull you out and give you an advantage.
Okay. Awesome. All right, so what are some of the other cards?
It's a paladin, so I gotta have equality. Equality yeah. is obscene. You can use equality with Muster for Battle, Consecration, Sylvanas, Knife Juggler. I'm all about equality. It's an amazing card.
Yeah, it is. So powerful.
Some people are actually cutting it out of their paladin decks or cutting it to one.
Madness,
I've seen
that
a lot recently.
Madness.
I'd be a little bit more towards leaning towards cutting out the consecration to one before I would cut the equality, but I don't know why they're doing it.
All right, so there you have it.
All right, so
you got a couple others here. What else you got?
I have the spare parts, which we already touched on quite a bit.
Okay.
Quite a few shows back, actually, you and Scott talked about the minions with abilities versus the vanilla test.
Oh, yeah.
And these spare parts, I feel like at one mana, is still a really, really good cost, even at the vanilla test.
Yeah, that is very true. And I noticed, too, like, yeah, they're valuing these pretty low, because, I mean, if you compare the Clockwork Gnome to the Leper Gnome, I mean, you're getting a spare part for less than what they charge for deal 2 damage to the enemy hero, because you also get the mech synergy on there as well. I mean, that's pretty cheap they're giving you that for.
Yeah. The last card I'd like to go over with key cards is Trogzor, and I, again, love this card. I don't know why more people are playing it. I love a minion that punishes my opponent for playing the spells they want to play anyway.
Yeah. Man, he is crazy. So just to remind people, he is a legendary. He's a 7-cost 6/6 with whenever your opponent casts a spell, summon a Burly Rockjaw Trog. And the Burly Rockjaw Trog is the one that you've seen a bunch because he's not legendary. He's the 4-cost 3/5 that whenever your opponent casts a spell, gain +2 attack. So if they want to start casting spells, it gets out of control real fast.
Absolutely. I love it.
Very cool. All right. So that's the deck. Any last words before we go fight to the death with our decks?
I'm a little curious of how this is going to wind up. I was curious to see how well Scott's deck held up in this current meta, and it's doing pretty well still.
Really?
I played it. Yeah, I took it onto the ladder because I was courageous enough, and I'm like, well, all right, this is kind of what he had. Let's see here. I did not add any Nax cards. I did not add anything from Goblins versus Gnomes, and it's still held up, so I think I got a good fight coming.
Nice. Yeah, so just to remind people, we're using his deck as close as I could build it with the original cards. It's very tempting to add Nax cards or mech cards in there, right? But
Absolutely.
We're doing it exactly how Scott built it with all the cards he had available at the time that he built it. That's the rules of the game. So we'll go duel right now, Paladin versus Paladin, see if mechs win or survival wins. We're going to have the live streams of this on the blog, GameDiplomat.com, so you can watch them from my perspective or from Adam's perspective. And then we'll be right back on the show to talk about how it went.
Bring it.
Oh, trash talk. Bring it. I'm down. Let's do this.
All right.
All right, we are back. Adam, you want to tell him how it went?
Can I be humble?
Yeah, you can be whatever you want.
That sounds great.
The winner has the
Josh
the right to do anything
you
want.
Josh gave me great games, but I slid through and won it.
Yeah, Adam is the new Happy Hearthstone deck champion. Congratulations, buddy.
Those really were the good games you want. Like, we had the one game that really went in my favor, then we had the second game that really went in your favor, and then we went to top decking in the third game.
Yeah.
That was a beautiful game.
Yeah, it was
beautiful
actually, I think the decks both did well. I think Scott should be proud of his deck, because, like you said, that middle game went really well for me using his deck. Everything was kind of going my way, and then back and forth. Man, so we went through three games. Man, that last game, I was feeling good, right? I was like, okay, I could do this. Then all of a sudden you throw down two sludge belchers and make your overseer divine shield and taunt in the same turn. Yeah. It was just like this huge wall emerged in front of me and I just had no hope.
Oh, that was a beautiful turn too, because that one weapon, that cog hammer that I actually run, empowered the quartermaster with taunt, and then I was able to trade with your 6-2, 6 attack, 2 health, clear, and still have my quartermaster with taunt. That felt so rewarding, I gotta tell you.
Yeah, that was really good. And so I have to ask near the end here, because people that watch my live stream, I wasn't sure if you made a misplay at the end, so I just want to know your thoughts on, like, when you decided to trade instead of punch face when you had me at like 13 health, what was your thought process?
I didn't have the game, and I knew there was one. It wasn't the turn where I traded to clear the 1-1 so that the 1-1 would come back or avenge the other guy. And then I wanted to clear the attacker so that the big guy didn't come back. I wonder if you're thinking on that turn or if you're thinking on a different turn.
I'm thinking is near the end of the game. It was right actually after you played all the taunt things. You chose to trade all of your taunt. Instead of just punching my face to get rid of my Guardians of the Kings, where I thought
I was
like,
missing. I wanted to clear the Guardians of the Kings in case you drew into Consecrate that turn.
Okay.
Because I didn't see it yet, and I didn't want to be left with nothing and you just have a brutal onslaught. So I actually had to choose a really crucial decision that no one likes to make, and that was clear the board so that I can try and keep a little bit momentum.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, because I was...
In case things went south.
I was scared there, and then I was chanting on the stream, please don't have Consecrate, please don't have Consecrate, because I had my Scarlet Crusader on the board, I had a 2-1, a 1-1, and just, oh, it, like, I don't know if you were doing it on purpose, I'm sure you weren't, but it always feels like the opponent's doing it on purpose, where the spell just hangs there in the middle of the board, like, it feels like forever waiting to flip over to tell you what it is, and then it was my
demise.
It's just
the deck, sometimes you really gotta look back, you gotta count. And I love decks where you have to think about those turns. And yeah. Like in the first game, I had so many times where I just had two or three plays in the same turn, and you just had to stop and think what's really the most beneficial play.
Yeah. So is that one of the big reasons you play this deck? Do you feel like, especially with
Absolutely.
Spare parts and stuff, you have so many choices like that to make?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love a little bit of skill.
Yeah. All right, so I was actually surprised by how few spare parts, especially in game one. I'm not even sure you had any spare parts in game one. I thought it was going to be a bigger part of your deck.
No, game one I thought I had the taunt, actually, didn't I?
Okay, you might have gotten
remember.
One taunt.
I'd have to go
yeah.
back. Each game I had a spare part, I know that.
Okay.
And probably the most unbeneficial was the freeze.
Yeah.
I think I had a freeze and I just froze your, even that had a pretty big spot though, because you had the 2 1-1s on board,
mm-hmm.
you had a Silverhand Recruit and an Argent Squire that no longer had the bubble, and then you had the 2-1, I can't remember his name.
Oh, the Abusive that Sergeant.
Abusive Sergeant. You had the Abusive Sergeant, and I wanted you to clear one of those 1-1s because there was in no land whatsoever... Was that 2-1 going to clear one of my minions? it was going to go in the face. You were never going to destroy that minion anyway, so I forced you still to trade one of the 1/1s off,
yeah,
or both of them. So
yeah, it was good.
And again, that's on Twitch too, so I'll figure that out and see if I can't make sure that's up here for a little bit so people can go watch it.
Yeah.
I did record it, so.
Cool, yeah, after the show, we'll figure it out. So so is that usually the right amount of spare parts that you get, or do you normally have more or less than that, do you find?
I can get more, I can get less. If I get less, they still play a crucial part in that late game in filling out the rest of that curve. One of the biggest problems with mid-range decks is when you get into that late game and you're sitting on a couple of sixes and you just want to fill the rest of that curve, they exist.
Yeah.
And their existence and how cheap they are speaks volumes to me.
Yeah, I mean, when you... I was really confused at first when you played Toshli and then you played Equality. I was like, what? Why did he do that? Like, this is... I was like, okay, this is going to be okay. Then all of a sudden, boom.
I was chanting on stream, please give me one attack. That's all I need for game. Please give me one attack. And I didn't get that one spare part. I actually got a time rewinder, which actually wound up picking back up Toshli, so I had a threat on board.
Yeah, and then you could get more spare parts, which was...
More spare parts. Try it again.
Yeah, you'll get it eventually. All right.
Thank you. Try again.
So I guess, man, those taunt dudes that you threw out, do you find those Sludge Belchers being really essential to the deck? Because we didn't really talk about them at all, but man, they did work in that last game.
Sludge Belcher is just another great card. He exists to stop Zoo, stop the little weenie rush decks.
Yeah.
He's good at what he does enough that he exists.
Yeah.
In many decks. And that's definitely why I brought him.
Okay. Man, I still remember halfway through game two when I had that redemption secret sitting on the board forever. Mm-hmm. And I remembered that you knew what that secret was because this deck only runs one secret. Because I was like, okay.
I thought ran two. I was looking for revenge. Either way, I wanted you to trade because I didn't want to proc that. I knew if that your minions died on your turn,
yeah,
that wouldn't proc.
Yeah.
So,
man, because I was sitting there, it's like, okay, I'm going to force him to kill this. It's going to be great. And, oh, there's no way he'll choose to attack the 1-1. Then I was like, wait, he knows exactly what this card is. I wish I could have Avenge. Avenge is one of the new cards that I can't have in this deck.
Oh, see, it's on that list online. I actually played it. Oops.
Oh, busted. That's all right. You're the winner. You can do whatever you want now. You're the champion.
I can. I can have my cake and eat it, too. What are you going to do? You got a lot of legendaries to craft. I have Sylvanas, Toshli.
Yeah. So, everyone, as we said before, like, I build the closest version I can. I'm going to be honest. I'm probably not going to be able to craft all of your legendaries because I think, how many? You have like 5 or 6 legendaries in there, right?
Lothab's a freebie.
That's true.
But Sylvanas, Toshli, Trogzor, Lothab, and Tyrion.
Okay.
So yeah, I think 5.
Yeah, so
I'm not looking at it, I'm guessing.
So we'll work because obviously everyone listening to the podcast can't build all those legendaries as well. So we're going to have alternatives for those. I'll probably you know, do a few of those. I'll see how much dust I've saved up and how much dust I can get based on kind of gold I have and spare cash I have lying around. But I will try and do your deck proud, Adam. I will let you check out the list, make sure that it's up to snuff, and maybe suggest some other swaps if you don't like the swaps that I made.
I mean, like, even Toshli, you like the 1-1 spare... I'm all tongue-tied now. You like the spare parts out of Clockwork Gnome in the early game. They really benefit in the late game. Toshli can help a little bit more with spare parts in that late game, just existing and filling space.
Yeah,
you could get around him. I don't like to. I think he's a really great card, and I think he's well-costed.
Yeah, you actually have me really excited for Clockwork Gnomes now. I actually haven't been running them in any of my decks, but I'm super excited to run it because it is kind of... It's kind of true, right? When the developers were on the show last week, or last episode, not last week.
Yeah.
They were talking a lot about how, like, the randomness of these spare parts and kind of the other random effects that come in with the expansion really make the game exciting every time you play because you don't know exactly what's going to happen every time, and that makes it more replayable.
Makes people have to think, though, and some people don't like that.
That is very true. Yeah, they like to read the deck list and then follow instructions.
Three people just followed me on Twitter and hated me for that comment.
Yeah. You can find Adam at AR Bruggy. No. And I mean, there's honestly nothing wrong with that. Like, I play a Mage Secrets deck that I just play when I want to not think about it at all. Because it's pretty much just play two minions, play a bunch of spells. You're good. And absolutely. I like that sometimes. Then other times I want to play the crazy priest decks that, you know, make you do combo cards together for days. But
I got a mech mage I'm running right now called Healbot, which I love the deck. It's just so much fun.
Yeah, mech mage is obnoxious. That is the deck I least like playing against. It's brutal.
I got a buddy of mine who's pretty sick and tired of hearing the micro machine saying "Here I come" in that mech mage deck when he gets the +5 health.
I'm curious, why isn't micro machine in this deck?
Micro machine does not give a spare part. It's not a mech paladin. It does have mech cards in it, but the spare parts are just existing to help the paladin out, so you don't have some of those cards that depend on other mech cards to exist, such as
Mech Warper.
I'm trying to think of the 3/3 guy that goes to 4/4 and gives you a spare part.
Oh,
I just don't
the
have
little
enough
gnome.
Mechs to run him. Yeah, I don't have enough mechs to run him without dropping consistency. So that was a big, big problem for me. I actually took him out. He was in the deck at one time.
Okay, Tinkertown Technician. That's what it is.
Thank you. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, because he adds a spare part to your hand as well. I know you'd love that.
He does. He does, but it's... It depends too much on you already having momentum.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. I like cards that can create that momentum too.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a very good distinction. So your deck is more kind of value mid-range paladin, and just some of those high-value cards happen to be mechs.
I don't think I ever said the name of this deck yet. The name of this deck that I came up with is called Teched Out.
Teched Out.
It's called
Teched
Out. It's called Teched Out. I love it.
All right. So why, when you're building a tech deck, I guess, based on spare parts, why Paladin?
Paladin already had the clear. It had a quality consecrate coming into it. It doesn't care what your health is because of a quality. It really felt like a deck that could benefit the most from this. So that's why I went with the spare parts in the Paladin deck.
Okay, very cool. So before we officially pass on the crown to you and move into the community section...
Is it Burger King? I love those hats.
Yeah, I could try and get one. Maybe one of those like donut shop ones too, paper. It'll be a little cheaper than crowns.
Possibly. Go ahead.
What sort of advice do you have for players that want to go out and build this deck? Any strategies or something they should keep in mind or ways they should play?
So the first thing people are going to see is they're going to see legendaries. Don't panic about the legendaries. I know I have a bunch of legendaries in here, but in all reality, I actually even posted this to you on Twitter. There are other cards that can be replaced for those cards. Toshley is probably a good card to go chasing after right away. Sylvanas and Trogzor. Lord of the Arena is a soulbound card. It has taunt, and it's so good with 6 attack in this current meta. Mm-hmm. Definitely worth looking at. It has a little bit of push. It has a little bit of everything. I was running Harrison Jones at one point, so if you look at the Twitter side, you could run Acidic Swamp Ooze in that spot. Triton, again, another card, probably about second in crafting. Lothab's free. So the two cards that you'd really want to chase after if you were to try and build this deck right off the bat was probably Triton and Toshley. And just throw it instead of having Sylvanas, Lord of the Arena. It's just really good for a soulbound card in this current meta.
Okay.
That may change in the future, but currently it's all right.
Very cool. I'm really excited to hear that because I love decks that can be built by everyone. So we'll definitely... we'll put those alternative cards in the deck list, which is going to be on GameDiplomat.com, where you can just look at all the cards and build it from there, which is what I'm going to have to do now that I have to play this deck against the next challenger, which I'm actually excited about because I thought your deck was really fun to play against. I'm really excited to play it.
Yeah, trust me, it's really fun to just take onto the ladder and, and really catch people off guard when you get the spare parts swing your way.
Yeah.
So, like that one game I had against you where I actually was able to play the double quartermaster.
Yeah, I know. I was waiting. I ever since you said that, like if you watched my stream, I kept saying like, oh, he's going to have a second one. Like there's no way that he did two muster for battles if he doesn't have two quartermasters just ready to go, or like a time rewinder or something. I was so scared of that. That's why it's like, do whatever I have to do to just clear these things off the board, because this is my only chance.
I think I got a song to sing.
Oh, yeah, boy. You do. All right, before we get into that, let's read a couple iTunes reviews, since we had some while we were gone for a while. PDXMRC says, I can't thank you guys enough. Great show. Says, I started back with the episode Picking Your First Class, which was with Scott, whose deck that was that just lost. Wah, wah. And I've listened to every podcast since then and just got to your most recent. My ranked play has improved from a 21-22 average to a 19. That's awesome. Big improvement. I'm still having problems with the arena. Any suggestions for a newbie to card games on how to play the arena and not so much picking cards, but just how to play? Again, thank you, Josh, and all the co-hosts for your help. That includes you now, Adam. He's thanking you, buddy.
Yay. Ooh, so, all right.
And he throws out his Hearthstone handle in case anyone wants to play MRC0. So this is a great idea, PDX. I was actually just working on a list of topics for our next few episodes, and I think an arena strategy guide would be a really fun topic. If anyone else has ideas for what you want us to kind of discuss, just let us know. Well, like I said, we're coming up with those ideas now, so we'd love to hear what you want to hear us talk about.
I'm a constructed guy, so you don't want to hear what I have to say about arena.
Okay, that's fair.
Booster drafts, what?
Yeah, well, that's why I love having rotating co-hosts on here. People kind of have asked me several times, like, oh, why don't you just get one co-host to keep it? I love getting the multiple perspectives. Have you come on, share your constructed feedback, bring Scott in, we'll talk arena. I mean, it's a great combination. Yeah. All right.
I got you.
So this one, I don't normally read bad reviews, but this actually brings up some good points I just want to address real fast. Chiba Tank gave us 2 stars, said, stop going to the rope. I like the show and would definitely go back and rank you higher if you could start casting more. If you're going to claim the longest running podcast on Hearthstone, then averaging 1 a month isn't really doing that title justice. I like your setup, your rotating host, but a lot of the job is just showing up and doing it. I really hope to hear from your happy Hearthstone more often. So those are totally valid complaints. Like I said at the front of the show, my personal
life
is...
You're still the longest running.
It's still the longest running. It's just
you're still the first. Yeah, you were the first to bat.
That's true. We are like the tortoise, right? We started early. Yeah. We may be moving slow. These hairs are going all over the place, but we're still moving.
And Josh, if you'll let me come back in months of the future, I'd love to fill one of those voids for you, however I can help.
That is a deal. Maybe you could bring some sort of rocket pack and attach it to my tortoise.
All right.
Yeah, obviously, everyone, let us know.
I heard about this rabbit. I took bids on him.
Yeah, I would love to have you back on the show, Adam. It has been fun. As long as you promise to not beat me every time you come on the show. How about that?
All right, I'll try.
All right. I'll try. So I'm going to try and do my best to keep the show consistent going forward. I just got overwhelmed a bit by life stuff. But the hardest part of keeping the show consistent is just finding guest hosts who have the time and willingness to come on the show, talk about some aspect of the game, or build a deck and share it. Like Adam put a lot of time in building the deck list and putting out all of his thoughts for why he picked every card for you guys. It takes a fair chunk of time. So please consider helping out and offering to be a guest host on the show. If there's something you want to talk about, if you have a decent mic, you're passionate about Hearthstone, just reach out to me on Twitter, email, all the contact info's at the end. I would love to have more of you guys on the show.
I had to go get a new mic today for this just because I knew I was talking about Paladin and I was terrified that every time I'd say Paladin, my peas would pop.
Well, your voice sounds great. And hey, I don't know how Best Buy works or something. You might be able to return it. You know, it's just slightly used.
I'm not taking this back. I'm going to pet it every single day now.
Well, it's good. Then next time you're on the show, no peas will be popping then either.
Absolutely.
All right. But the one pop I do want to hear right now is your sweet song that I think you have prepared for our card of the week.
Oh, okay. Alrighty. I still have guests in the other room, too.
So bring them in. They can be the audience. They can applaud, cheer, all that stuff.
Yeah, they'll do something. I don't know about applaud and cheer. But anyways. So, card of the week. I wrote this, actually, back when we were talking about a different cast. So, the deck that was really popular was Rogue. Miracle Rogue.
Oh, yeah.
So, you'll...
All right, it's a vintage song. I still believe in it.
It's a vintage song. All right. They call me Blood Mage. They call me Van Cleave. They call me Gromosh. They call me Game. Card of the week. Card of the week. Card of the week. Card of the week. They call me awful until I'm broken, and then I'm awesome, way overplayed. Card of the week. Card of the week. Card of the week. Card of the week.
Yeah! I'm applauding here. I'm sure your guests are too.
Bring it on, Scott. You don't even like to sing it.
Oh!
Come on back over here to Happy Hearthstone and beat that.
Dude! Adam throwing down the gauntlet. He beat your deck, Scott, and now he's beating your voice. Can you deal with that?
He never wants to do it. I got to call him out on it. Somebody's got to call him out on it.
All right, good work, dude. Adam is wasting no time. He's coming on his first show, just making enemies left and right. This is how you release like rap albums, right? You just go out and shots fired at all the favorite guests. All right, so card of the week this week is the Recombobulator. It's a 2-mana creature with 3 attack, 2 health, and a battle cry. Transform a friendly minion into a random minion with the same cost. Now, you picked this card, Adam. What are you thinking with him?
I think this card is awesome. We have a deck that's been sitting around. I've heard a couple of people call it Tenlock, but I've heard most people call it Handlock. Mm-hmm. And this card's done a lot for the Handlock decks during the GVG release. I love it because it can be controlled. You can pick those giants that have been damaged, change them into another giant, and there are no other 12 or 20 cost minions, so they're back to life, full health, so good, so good. Handlock needed a way to heal these creatures, and this is such a cool way to do it because it really feels like a Warlock player to sack and then resummon those demons.
Oh, so I didn't realize it's based on
based on the mana cost.
I thought it was based on their current mana cost, you know, because their mana cost can change based on your health.
When they go into play, the mana cost returns to normal because it's no longer in your hand.
Oh, wow. That is a great trick. Yeah. Wow.
Love this card. It's so good.
Okay. So definitely in Handlock. That sounds incredible. I play a lot? Would you play it in any other deck besides Handlock?
Probably not.
Okay. Yeah.
Probably never.
But that trick is incredible because there are no other 12 or 20 cost minions. Nope. Wow. So you trade it, get it down to like an 8-2, and then boop, 8-8 again.
You got it.
Wow. It's okay.
Beautiful.
That's pretty cool. And actually, I mean, the effect is pretty decent for just trading in general, right? If you have a 4 cost, you know, Chillwind Yeti or whatever, trade it, get it down to a 4-2, trade it for some other 4 minion. It'll probably be better than what you had.
He's also good on vanilla.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, he's a 3-2 for 2, which is solid.
Wish he had 2-3, kind of. He can trade up.
Yeah.
I wouldn't pick him in Arena, ever. Never, ever.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, Arena is too scary for that sort of stuff. There's enough randomness already in Arena. You don't want to go add in more.
Another card with a specific place and time.
Yeah.
But that place and time is so good.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, I need to go play that now because that is incredible. I never even thought about that. Right after this show, I am just logging out and playing Handlock. All right.
I gotcha.
So, like I said, we're going to have full show notes along with links to all the videos. Both of us live streamed our side of the fight, so you can check out the decks. We're going to have the full deck list where Adam put together an awesome explanation card by card why he plays that card, how you can use it to win with that deck. All that's going to be on GameDiplomat.com. Just swing by there and click on Hearthstone at the top. You'll find everything you could ever want to know.
And even if you feel like you have nothing to learn, I went way too far on Lothab.
That is true. Yeah, even if you don't care about the deck, I have a 9 bullet point step-by-step example of using Lothab in this deck. So definitely go check that out. As always, we'd love to know what you thought of the show, what you'd like to see added in future episodes, or hey, if you'd like to be on the show, please come join us. You can find us on Google+, Happy Hearthstone, at Twitter. I'm at J Augustine, or you can email me, ajosh@outlook.com, or just comment on the blog, gamediplomat.com. Adam, where can people find you and the things that you do?
They can email me at broogie@live.com, or they can find me and follow me on Twitter. Not very active on there, but if you do say something, I'll try my best to respond to you. And that's at AR Broogie, as he already sent all the haters, the three of you, to my Twitter earlier.
Yeah, I would encourage you, if you guys start playing with the decks and you have questions, or if you aren't sure why a particular card is in and his explanation on the site just doesn't make sense to you, you know, just ping him on Twitter, kind of get his thoughts on what you can do.
Thanks for having me, Josh.
Yeah, thank you, Adam, for joining us. It was really great. You saved the show. When I couldn't find any host, you popped out of the fog with a deck ready to go and conquer to become the Happy Hearthstone reigning deck champion. Congratulations again, dude.
It was time.
So we'll do a non-deck show next, and then probably another deck show after that, because I'd like to get the deck shows going more regular. So then Adam will be back, or at least I will be impersonating Adam, playing his deck in the battle arena, fighting for those
lives. Impersonator.
All right. Thanks again, Adam.
Not a problem.
And thanks again to all the listeners for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. We'll see you next time.
Bye. What are you going to do? You got a lot of legends to craft.